Hey, Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hi.
So you've been nosing about Indiana. Well, not physically. You've been looking up something regarding their FarmWise program, which sounds pretty cool and encouraging.
Yeah, I was excited to see it. You know, we try to keep up on news about local food programs, and I hadn't known till just today that Indiana has a pretty strong statewide support for local food, and it's especially prevalent at Indiana University. The university has an Environmental Resilience Institute, and this new program at the university is called FarmWise Indiana, and it's going to try to, it's connecting operators of Indiana's small and mid-sized farms and food producers with institutional buyers. This is cool because here at Birds and Bees Urban Farm, we are not, you know, connecting small producers with buyers, but we do know the people in town who are doing that. And we were part of a food security task force that has had its ups and downs in the city government. That was a big part of what we had hoped to see being accomplished just in Des Moines. But this is a statewide program.
Yeah. And so is it helping to increase the number of farmers who are actually producing food for local consumption?
Well, the program is just now being initiated.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to try to connect operators of the farms and the food producers with institutional buyers. So that means schools, universities, restaurants, retail outlets, healthcare providers.
Mm-hmm.
I recently saw a friend who has had to spend some time in a hospital, and she posted on Facebook that she was surprised that they could find her such good food. Hospitals aren't necessarily known for having good food. That's hard to meet everybody's taste. But
yeah.
So that would be one of the healthcare providers that the folks in this program are working to connect farmers with.
Well, that's pretty cool. And this is a state initiative?
Yeah. Here's a quote from the founder, Jody Smith. FarmWise Indiana is about building relationships that benefit everyone, from farmers and food producers to the communities they nourish. We're focused on making local food a bigger part of Indiana's economy and identity. That's the end of the quote.
Yeah, take
and
that, Iowa.
I love that.
How come we can't get that? I mean, you know, I worked on something along those lines when I was a state lawmaker, and it was never taken seriously by the Republican majority, or honestly, even by a lot of the Democrats in the minority. So it's nice to see it moving forward in Indiana.
Well, here in Des Moines, we've already proposed to the city that the city create itself as and declare itself as the local food capital of the U.S.
It has a ways to go, but I will say Des Moines is also ahead of the curve in so many ways. I mean, for example, you can have chickens in Des Moines. A lot of towns don't allow chickens.
Mm-hmm.
You can have up to 30, in fact, which is a decent flock. You can raise rabbits and bees in the city without a problem.
Which we do.
You can even have a couple pygmy goats or a couple potbelly pigs. Those are more, I think, for pets, but you know, that's a start. You can also grow food in your front yard.
Yes, now
you can. Also grow.
Thank you, Mary Farrell.
Yeah, you can also. No, that's
and
the
her,
parking strip.
The parking. Oh, I'm sorry.
The front
that's
yards
right,
have been. But there are cities where you aren't allowed to grow it in your front yard.
That's right.
Urbendale, for instance. Yeah. You can grow it on the parking strip. So there's in a lot of ways, it's pretty progressive already, but it's got a long ways to go. But this is cool. An entire state that's really moving. I mean, I'd be interested to see how well it pans out, but it's a really great start.
It is. And one benefit that they're citing, besides just people getting to eat better food and places that want to serve that food, being able to find that food, is that local economies where small and mid-sized farmers can do well, they can contribute more back to their community. Mm-hmm. So you're creating jobs, you're creating food security, and there's some good data that is, you know, you can say local foods is where it's at because, for instance, more than 50% of Indiana food service buyers surveyed in the setup to this project defined local as being grown or made in Indiana, which isn't hyper-local at all, but it's statewide. Those 200 buyers are spending more than $550 million $1 billion purchasing food each year. Substituting food grown and made in that same state can boost their food economy. So, right. you know, not
at some point, they may be bumping up against the interests of corporate ag.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the grocers.
Sure, and the groceries, yeah, yeah, and maybe even foreign markets that that want. I mean, Iowa, what, 85% of our food comes from outside of the state,
and we're the food basket. Huh?
Yeah, we're the
Iowa
ethanol.
Feeds the world.
We're the corn for ethanol and
cattle feed
capital of the world.
Well, another stat per USDA. Sales from farmers to wholesale buyers increased 280% from 2017 to 2020, totaling more than $305 million. Now, I'm going to predict that that will go down in the years to come if these cuts from the current U.S. Yeah. administration to farm-to-table programs continue.
Yeah, we're already seeing those programs being hurt here in Iowa.
Well, the interesting part of this initiative in Indiana, I think, is the funding. It's a group called Builders Initiative. It was actually founded by Lucas Walton, his grandson, and one of the heirs to the Walmart fortune.
Wow. Okay.
Sam and the founder of Walmart, Sam Walton, but. I didn't do a deep dive into Builders Initiative, but they do seem to have a pretty big philanthropic arm. And,
not surprising.
And also they have expressed support for critical race theory influence concept of food equity and equity in general.
Oh, that's going to get them canceled.
Well, the quote from them, inclusiveness and equity are key to vibrant, thriving communities. So it sounds like they're doing what they can to give back. So we're just thrilled to see any local food initiative. We do want to mention again that we're close to having a date for the planting of the urban orchard in Des Moines that we proposed to the city a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That will be sometime this fall, maybe right. within weeks,
we're looking
don't know, at,
40, at
Drake Park. In
40 fruit trees?
I think it's about 35 now with the space, okay. but there will yeah. be some existing trees that will be maintained.
Yeah.
So that'll be happening. It may be scheduled when we can have volunteers come and help.
Yeah.
And also, we have a harvest party coming up, our fifth annual harvest
right.
party.
And harvest party is interesting
this
because...
This is at Birds and Bees Urban Farm.
Yeah, because we... At a place like ours where we grow food, we harvest every season, every month. Every month, even January, we're harvesting
something.
We're
harvesting, yeah.
So, and it's going to be September 13th.
September 13th.
Yeah.
And it was originally scheduled from 2 to 4. We're going to extend that to 2 to 5 because of popular demand.
What do we got going on?
We've got... beautiful string music by Anna and Elena Steenson. They play Irish music with you, Ed.
And classical. Yeah.
We have a guest chef, Albin Blot, and he is a French guy who lives in our neighborhood. He's going to make a special dish with rabbit. And we're just going to have a lot of fun. We usually get about 100 people come through. We have sponsors, Gateway Market and Lua Brewing.
Kathy, thanks for joining me today.